All right, so this morning we're going to carry on with the series that I started last week. So the series that we're looking at the moment is something I've called Making the Best of Your Life. Making the Best of Your Life. Okay, so last week we looked at a number of things, but the main point that stood out for me last week was this. You and I have just one life to live. And I gave the example that there is a retirement home that I go to once a month to do like a hymn service. I'm going there today actually. So if you want to join me, you can come along. And I've been going there now for about 7 years, even before we started this church. How I started going there is a story for another time, but I've been going there for over 7 years, once a month. And one thing I noticed there was that you have people who are like in their 80s, in their 90s, and I'll do like the hymn service, just maybe talk for about 15 minutes, we'll sing hymns, 30 minutes is done, then we'll sit down and I would have tea and biscuits with them. And they'll be telling me loads and loads of stories. Some of them will tell me I was in the RAF, I was a pilot. Some would say I was this, I was in France, I lived in Australia, all sorts of stories that I would hear. And what that has done to me, what that did to me over the past years was this. I noticed that for some of those folks, they had really good stories to tell. And they were happy that they had done all that they set out to do in life. And for some of those people, they had sad stories to tell. And when I mean sad stories, not that anything bad happened to them, because bad things happen to everybody. But the sadness was from the fact that, my goodness, I'm now in my 90s and there were so many things that I wanted to do. And I haven't been able to do those things. I didn't do those things because I thought I would have time. And one of them was telling me that, and this is something I hear often, that it was as if they were 30 yesterday and suddenly they woke up and they're 90 something. One thing, and I understood that because for me as well, there are times I wake up and I can remember my 18th birthday as if it was just last week. I remember that I was at uni. I remember my friends that were there. I remember exactly what I was doing. Now, fast forward 10 years later. You guys didn't get that joke. I'm not 28. Fast forward, add a few tens. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And it's like, man, where has my life gone to? It's been so quick. So quick. And I'm like, man, if this is how life goes, I'm going to wake up one day and I'll be like 90-something. So the main point I made last week was this. We have one life to live, and we need to live it consciously. Consciously. But I'm not going to go over everything I spoke about last week. But one other point I made last week, which I think I will focus on today, is we can choose to live our own life the way we want to do it, the way we desire to do it, or we can choose to be conscious of God's plan for us and live our lives as best as we can in the context that we believe God wants us to live it in. So I said last week, we can choose our own life and live the way we want to live, and God will still love you, God will still love me if we choose that path. His love for us will not change. And we'll make heaven. Or we can choose God's way and God's path for us consciously. And the main scripture that we are basing the series on is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. And Paul was saying in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, I have fought the good fight. And I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So Paul could confidently say at the end of his life that, look, I have done every single thing that I wanted to do. So Paul could say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So if we choose to live our lives as believers, not really being conscious of God's plan for us, like I said, God will love you, He still loves you, and you will make heaven. But if we choose to live our lives the way we want to live it, being conscious that maybe God might want us to do something else, and we put God's plans for us aside, God loves you, God loves me, but we might not be able to say at the end of our lives, like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that I have lived my life, I have fought the good fight. I don't want to find myself in that position where I'll ever have to say something different from that. I don't want to, because I've seen what it looks like through the eyes of many people. So that's kind of like the main points that I made last week. And I want to carry on today. And what I'm looking at today from the second, as the second part, is something I've called, it's still part of making the best of your life. But I'm looking at two things today: fear and uncertainty. Fear, as in F-E-A-R, and uncertainty. These two things have such a big impact on how we live our lives and if we will live our lives the way God has planned out for us. And I can tell you something. You will always know when God wants you to do one thing or the other. It might not be like a big vision, but as you go through life, you will make little choices. Choices will present themselves to you. And you will know that making this choice means I am going to do more in the context of the kingdom of God. And not making this or taking the alternative means I may not be able to do all the things that. So we will know. Is from the little choices. And I'm going to be looking at, as an introduction, the life of Abraham and his nephew called Lot. I'm going to read a long portion of scripture here. Then I will make the points that I'm going to be making today. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 5 to 12 and verses 14 to 18. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 to 12, I'll start. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And there was quarreling that arose between Abraham's herd and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your headsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is this not the whole land before us? Let's part company. If you go left, I will go right. If you go right, I will go left." Verse 10. So let's pay close attention. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company, and Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived amongst the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. I'll pause there. So we say scenario here, normal everyday scenario. Abraham had a nephew called Lot, and they were moving together from place to place, and they became so wealthy. They had cattle, they had land, and it got to the point where Abraham's cattle, because in those days it was like cattle. Now maybe we could say Abraham had like 30 Lamborghinis and a few Porsches, and they didn't have parking space. And Lot had like some Maseratis and some, and he was like, man, we need land, we need space. This is, you know, I can't be, this, we need more, you know. So there was a quarrel between the men of Lot and Abraham. It's like, look, we need grazing land, and you know, we're just stepping on each other's toes here. And there was a quarrel. Abraham now told Lot, he said, look, let's not quarrel. There's no big deal about this. Let's settle this amicably. Abraham now said to Lot, look, there's land. Choose to go left or right. If you choose to go left, I'll go right. If you choose to go right, I'll go left. So you make the choice. Any choice you want, I'll just let you be and I'll make the choice after you've done yours. Lot now does something. It's very subtle. He now goes, man, how do I make this choice? How do I make this choice? And the Bible says he did something that we all do. He looked around and he said, my goodness, man, looking to the left, it looks like this is like real nice grassland. My sheep and all that. And it looks like, man, they have like some really nice things in that city. I'm going to go for that. And he goes for that. And Abraham says, no problem. Abraham goes in the opposite direction. Now you're wondering, Pastor Benson, what is this? Isn't this like a normal thing? What's the point you're trying to make here? Lot made a choice that was motivated by the topic I'm talking about today. Fear or uncertainty. So he looked and he said, look, I want to be certain that this choice, I want to make a choice that is certain. I don't want any funny, you know. And he uses his mind as we should, and he makes the choice that if I go here, I think things will be more palatable for me. Man, if I go to Afghanistan, man, they're fighting in that place. I was telling, you know, we came from West London to Bristol here. It was a bit of a challenge. But we came, and I thank God that we came. And I was just reflecting one day, and I said, God, you know, we're in Bristol, and, you know, it's good. You know, I'll do anything for you. But please, don't ask me to go to Afghanistan. I said, God, you know, I'll do anything for you, but my preference is please don't ask me to go to Afghanistan. Do you understand? So what am I saying? Natural choice. So Lot made a choice, and the choice was, I will make a choice that is certain. For fear that, man, if I make this other choice, it might not work out, and I'm not sure. So he wanted to be definite. He had his own expectations for his life. It's like, man, I want my kids to go to school in this place. I want to, I think I'll get a job in this, a better opportunity in this place, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But Abraham does the opposite. He says, whatever happens, choose anything you want, Lot. Whatever I choose, I don't care. Why? Because he understood something that I'm going to be looking at this morning. Abraham understood that as long as God is on the throne, as long as Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a plan for me, come rain or shine, come hardship or no hardship, come what may, God has got me. So I can make any choice I make, as long as at the back of my mind I'm making it consciously, knowing that God has my back. Nothing can happen to me. Nothing. Going back to this Afghanistan thing that I said, I was like, God, you know,
I don't really want to go to Afghanistan, you know. I prefer Bristol and all that.
But I told someone something one day. I told someone that, look, and this is my personal belief, by the way. I told someone that in my heart now, I have come to the point, and I'm not trying to be like, what's that word? Puffed up or whatever here. But I told someone, I said, in my mind, I have come to the place and the understanding that if God tells me to go anywhere, I know I don't want to go to Afghanistan and all this, but let's say paradventure. He says, Pastor B, that is where you need to go to. I am confident that anywhere I go to, God has my back. Seriously. And anything I need in that place, God will give it to me. If I need a house, God will buy me a house in that place. If I need a car, God will get me a car in that place. Even if nobody has a car. If I need a job to sustain myself and there are no jobs, God will manufacture a job for me in that place that He has sent me to. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why? I'll talk about that in a minute. So coming back to Abraham and Lot, Lot makes the choice that I'm going to go based on what I think. And that's not a bad choice at all. A lot of us would do that. The only challenge with that was that Lot had nothing in mind about God's plan. He was like, look, God's plan can take a backseat. I need to use my brain here. I need to make an intelligent decision. But God, I can handle this myself. Now, if you now look at the life of Lot, I'm not going to go into that. It didn't really turn out the way Lot expected. He lost everything. Now, I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to people, but the thing here is this. I am looking at a mindset that Lot had. The Bible refers to Lot as a righteous man. Righteous man, the Bible calls him. But he had a certain mindset that was different from the mindset of Abraham. And it is that mindset that we need to develop that would allow us to make the best of our lives. That mindset. So, the question now is this. If our lives are directed or influenced one way or the other by our desire for certainty and maybe fear. When I say fear, I'm not talking about being afraid, but it's like making choices that would not put you in jeopardy. Making choices that would ensure that, look, I can pay my mortgage, I can do this. So I'm not talking about fear from a point of you are afraid, but I'm talking about fear as in not wanting to put yourself in a situation in the future that will be inconvenient. So that's the fear I'm talking about, not fear like you're afraid. You're like, man, I don't want to be in this situation where I can't do this, I can't pay my mortgage, or I can't. Do you understand? That's what I'm talking about, fear. So our choices are motivated, I believe, a lot of the times by fear, avoidance of fear, and the desire to be certain. That's avoiding uncertainty. So the question now is this. How can we get to the place where we can live life at our best? If I am saying that in order to live life at our best, there's a certain mindset that we need. I'll look at three things this morning. And I want to make it as practical as possible so that we realize that this thing just doesn't happen to us like that. We just don't get to the place where we trust God and we're like, we're going to. It takes time. If we're conscious of the process, then we'll be aware that, okay, I am getting to the point where I can really trust God. So how do you get to the point? How do I get to the point where I can begin to trust God more? And when God asks me to do something, when that thing is going to benefit my life, I can make the choice almost seamlessly. And it has nothing to do whether you're with, whether you're a pastor, you're not a pastor. Not, in fact, pastors have to even go through this even the more. Do you understand what I mean? So that's what we're looking at this morning. How do I do that? I'll look at three main areas this morning that I believe will help us. The first thing I believe that we need to do is we need to let go of the control of our lives to God and begin to really believe that He has our best interest at heart. We need to understand and come to the place where God is He's eternal. He knows everything. So He knows your future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, which is one of my favorite verses, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God knows your future more than you do. He knows your future more than you do. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him or submit to Him, and He will direct your paths." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the first part. It says, this is Paul saying, "This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet there is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard or keep what I have entrusted to Him until that day." So the first thing is we need to realize and be conscious that God knows the future, has a plan for you. You are not just a random human being walking around. I mean, look at the kids here. Look at the, I mean, they're there, they're playing. Do you think Drummer Jack is thinking about, oh, what am I going to eat tomorrow? He's not even aware because he knows that, look, tomorrow I've got my mom and my dad, they've got all that covered. And truly, his mom and his dad, they'll be like, man, what's Mr. Jack going to eat? Does it like Frosties? Does it like all the, you know? And this is the same God that says, even if your parents forsake you, I will never forsake you. That's the God that we're talking about here. So the first thing is we need to let go. I was talking to one of my older friends, and he's like an executive coach. And he said something to me. You know, one of the few people that would look me in the eye and tell me the truth objectively. He said, "Pastor B, you need to let go of the remote control and get off the throne of your life and let God be the one in charge." And I mean, come on, I'm Pastor B, man. I'm the guy that, in quote, I have faith. I have faith, man. I moved from London to Bristol. I did this and I did that and I did that and I did that. So come on, what are you talking about, man? I've let God have control of my life. And he said, no, you have not fully. You want to control every area of your life. And I said to him, you know what? That's true. It's my accountant brain. I used to be an accountant before. And, you know, the thing with accountants is, I'll put a disclaimer here, 1 + 1 must be 2. If it's not 2, there's a problem. You have to check the books. So I now realize that, hang on, I'm the kind of guy that, look, I need certainty. If I'm going to do this, then this is the expectation that I have. But God has taught me big lessons. When I do 1 + 1, and I'm like, God, this is 2. And God says, sorry, it's not 2 in this instance. It's actually 0. And I'm like, really disappointed. I'm like, man, God, I don't, you know, I can't deal with this type of life, man. This, I can't deal with it. You know, I need to know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, I was like, and he told me, he said, look, Pastor B, Get off the throne of your life. Let God be the one on the throne. And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm not as faithy as I thought. Maybe on Sundays I put on, you know, all the, well, at home I'm like, man, goodness, what's happening with this thing? So the first point is this. We need to hand control of our lives to God because He cares for us. He knows what our future is. And it's a conscious decision. Otherwise, we will live the lives that we want to live, which is not bad, but not necessarily the life that God has for us, which I believe is better all the time. Do you understand? So we're looking at making the best of your life. And that Abraham was in a place where he could actually make the best of his life because he had a certain mindset. And the first thing was that he handed complete control to his life, of his life to God. And it's a gradual thing. You just don't wake up, I believe, in the morning and say, okay, God, I've heard Pastor Benson preach this thing. Hey, this is the control of my life and all that. Then something happens like, oh, God, I'm not quite sure I meant that. What's this? This is not adding up. And he's like, I thought you said you handed control of. So it takes time. So the second thing is this. You know, God, the Bible tells us that Jesus is not unaware of our feelings. So the second thing we need to realize is this. God knows that there are times you want to make decisions or you're going through life, and He knows that you're afraid. He knows that, man, this person is like, you're freaked out. It's like, man, what am I going to do? So God isn't there saying, oh, come on. You've been going to church. Pastor B has been preaching about faith for 6 months and you're not having, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't. Do you understand? So the second thing is this. God knows that we're afraid sometimes. And He's not knocking us to say, you should know better. He knows that, look, man, this choice, if I do this, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Or this is happening and I have absolutely no clue. Or, God, this choice you're asking me to make, I don't know where it's going to end. And I am afraid. I remember when we moved to Bristol from England, from West London about six years ago. I think I've repeated that story quite a number of times. We came to Bristol, and I remember where it was my daughter's son, my late wife, and we said, okay, let's visit this Bristol that God's asking us to go to. So we came to visit. We're in the city center. I remember this day. And whilst my daughter and my son were so excited, we're in the, what's the name of that place? Near the aquarium. I think it's, yeah, near the aquarium in the center. They had like all these fairs. They had like ice cream and all those things. And they were super excited, like, Dad, I want ice cream there. I want this. And they were so excited about all these things. And I zoned out. I zoned out. And when I zoned out, what was on my mind was this. God, we do not know a single person in Bristol. God, I have never started a church in my life. God, this is Bristol. Where do we even start? Do we go to Fish Ponds? Do we go to Kingswood? Do we go to Clifton? Where do we even start? I don't have a job in Bristol. My job is in London, and I love that job. I worked hard to get it. And at that point, I was gripped with fear. But do you know what I did? Do you know what I did? When our kids were, and my late wife were saying, oh, so what do we do? I mean, how about, I'm like, yeah, we're good. God's going to, you know, sort us out. God has got us, you know, in His palms. Whatever God says we should do, I'm sure. But inside, I was like,
God, what is happening here?
And you know what? God understood where I was coming from. He understood. And we now see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Joshua was going to start a new phase of his life, and he was terrified. And Joshua chapter 1, God said to him, it says, look, have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There was another gentleman, Gideon, in the Bible, Judges chapter 6, verse 23. God was asking him, moving him to another phase of his life where he had to make major choices. And he was afraid as well. And God said in Judges chapter 6, verse 23, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, God was saying, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, deliver my people. And Moses, God appeared to him physically in a burning bush. After the conversation, Moses just said, God, you know, please just send somebody else. And God was a bit angry with him. He's like, you're kidding me. I'm appearing to you. I'm giving you all this. Moses just, he said, look, I just don't want to deal with this. So the second thing is this. God knows that sometimes we're afraid, even if we put up a bold face. So he understands. So what that means is that in making the best of your life, there are times that you will be afraid. You will be. The way you guys are looking at me, I know it's like, Pastor B, me afraid. Maybe you, Pastor B, me, nah, I'm good. Every time, fear, oh, Pastor B, move on, Pastor B. Yes, but for us who are in the normal world, we're afraid sometimes. But it's okay. So the thing now is this. I'm making three main points here. The first point is that we need to let go of our lives and let God help us, because he has the good plan for us. Number two, we might be afraid sometimes. So the last point I want to make here is this. How do we grow in our trust of God? How do you do it? And you know what, right? What I've come to realize is that God is like really super simple. I'm telling you. Really super simple. Now, I could say, you know what? Sorry, this is my American accent. I hope I don't wear my voice out. Maybe I should have Tish play on the keyboard, but I don't want to wear her. So this is where I go. I do my American accent and think, you need to have faith. Come on, if you want to trust God, all you have to do is have faith. All you have to do is just believe in God. And after I've spoken all that, I'm like, all right, thank you, Pastor B. You said we should have faith, we should believe in God and all those things, but in real life, what does that really mean? What does that mean in real life? Well, this is what it means in real life. How do you come to the place where you trust your friend or someone you meet? You can only trust someone you know. You understand? It doesn't happen by osmosis. They can't just come up to you and say, trust me. You're like, okay, that's the starting point. But that's not how it happens. Now, you guys maybe have observed me. I'm like, okay, Pastor B is a trustworthy person. He seems like a nice guy. But how did you come to the place where at least you trust me to a point? It's because you know me. You know me. How do you trust your friend? Because you know them. So the level of trust that you have for God will not come on you by osmosis. it will not just automatically dawn on you and like, oh, I trust God. No, I don't think it happens like that, at least not for me. You will begin to trust God more and it becomes almost automatic as you know God more. As you know God more. There are certain things that if you had asked me to do 20 years ago, from a Christian perspective, I would not have done them. Never. Because I'm like, God, thank you. But I wouldn't have done them. I just would not have done it because like, man, no way. I don't know what's going to happen here. Forget it. But I still love God. But I just didn't trust him enough because I didn't know him enough. There's some things I remember. There's some crazy things that I've done in the past in the context of God. I just tell my late wife then, this is what God wants us to do. This is what God wants us to do. I think after a while, she got used to that side of me. Because she'll calculate the whole thing and say, Pastor B, are you sure? I'll be like, sweetheart, not really. But this is what God wants us to do. And I think God will really sort us out in this context. And that's because I've come to realize over time that God can be trusted. There are some things that I wouldn't do now because I don't think I trust enough yet. I put yet there because I will get there. There are some things that I won't do. It's true now. There are some things that now I do not have the capacity to trust God to that level for now. You know? Although I love God. But for now, God, you need to give me time to develop my... Do you get what I mean? It's just like, for example, there's a difference between when someone is your friend and it's like, okay, you guys go out, you eat lunch and all that together. They say like, okay, meet me at the center. You meet them at the center and you trust them. That's one level of trust. When the person now says, you know, you're married, and they're like, I would like you to marry me. Yeah, like, hang on, marry you. That's a different level of trust because what you're asking me to do is to move from my house, we'll live the rest of our lives together. At this point, let's take a pause. And what you're trying to do is, you're trying to take time to know them better. And as you know them, you trust them more. Do you get what I mean? So how do we grow in our trust for God? Simply, by knowing God more. How do you get to know someone more? By spending time with them. Simple logic, right? So, we grow in our trust for God in a number of ways. I'll mention three things, then we'll pray. The first thing that we need to realize if we want to grow in our trust in God, three things I'll put down. The first is this, Jeremiah 31:3. It says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So the first thing is that we must realize that God loves us. Truly, we must come to the place where we know that God loves you as an individually. I said as an individually. He loves you as an individual unconditionally. That is the basis. That is the first basis. The second thing is this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that in all things, God works out for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. The second thing is this. In growing in our trust for God, apart from realizing that God loves you and I individually, we must have it at the back of our minds, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that irrespective of what happens, whether it is good or whether it is a bad experience, God will get you to the destination He wants you to get to, irrespective. Do you understand? And the last one, around how we grow in our love and our trust for God. By spending time with God, reading the Bible as God's letter to you, not just for fact gathering, but reading the Bible and talking to God. Tell God what's on your mind. Do you understand? Tell God what's on your mind. Ask God to help you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul the apostle says something. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. So Paul the apostle could do anything for God. He had been shipwrecked. He had been bitten. He had been left for dead. But he still kept on preaching the gospel. Why? Because I believe that he understood that God loved him so much. He understood that God would bring something good out of all his suffering. That's why we can read the Bible. And he knew that I need to spend time knowing this God that we're talking about. Do you understand? So, I'm going to end here this morning. We're looking at the series, Making the Best of Your Life. And in order to make the best of your life, I believe you and I have to desire and make choices in the context of what we believe God's asking us to do, the direction that God's asking us to take. But in order to do that, we need to, one, let go of our lives to God because He knows best. Do you understand? Number two, we need to understand that God understands our fears. And number three, you can only trust God to the extent that you know Him. And as you grow in your knowledge of God, you'll be able to make the best of your life. You'll be able to live a life that you can turn back, and at the end of it, maybe when you're 100 or 90 something, like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, you'll be able to look back at your life without regret and say, yes, I have done all that I wanted to do in life. I have run the race and I have finished my race. Let's rise up this morning and we'll pray. So this morning, I just want us to talk to God and have a personal conversation with God. And just, it's you and God. Tell God what's on your mind. And just like, man, if you're like, man, God, this is what's making me afraid. I want to do this, this, and this. Have that conversation this morning. Have that conversation this morning. And the other conversation that I would like us to have with ourselves is, I am where I am at the moment, but I'm going to make the decision now that I will make the best of my life. Let's talk to God this morning. Father, this morning we just want to thank you. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the fact that your word tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, that you know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us to give us a hope and a future. Father, thank you for the future that you have for us. Lord, this morning we're asking that you will help us to make the best of our lives. Help us to walk in your plans for us. Father, where we are afraid, Father, bring strength and comfort. Where we are unsure, bring direction and clarity. Help us to make the best use of our life. Help us to live life at our best. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. So why don't you just talk to the Lord this morning? Ask Him. Just talk to Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. Yeah. And, you know, this morning I can see someone. Well, I can see someone, you're walking on a path, right? And it's like a silver path, shiny, and you're walking, and you're coming to like a part in that, on that road where there are three options for you. One is a big option. It seems like it's all shiny road. One is a big option, and one is a slightly smaller option, and the third one is a little option. And you're wondering, which of these three options should I choose? And this has to do with your life, actually. It has to do with your destiny. And it's like you're at crossroads. You're not quite sure which decision to make. Well, really, you can take any one that you want out of those three. Because whichever decision you make from those three, God has got your back. Because they will lead to the same place. Why? Because God has your back. So you can choose any one of those three. Because God has your back. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that for that person that needs to make the choice amongst these three options, that you will strengthen them, that you will guide them. That as your word says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that you will work out everything for good. The same way Abraham told Lot, Lot, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Because I know that irrespective of the choice I make, God is with me. So for that person, God is with you. Just make the choice. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.